The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Oh, you're on number two.
Oh, I see what happened. Yeah, the microphones got turned around, and I just grabbed the one that was closest to me. It was the wrong microphone. So do not blame Mike. This was my fault this time, folks. I know. Once. It was my fault. So anyway, it's Real Life Real Estate Investing. We're here, as always, to give you the information and inspiration you need to start or grow your own real estate investing business. We're going to talk about wrap mortgages tonight, and we're going to talk about them at a little higher level than we did last time, because when I sent you all the email that I send you all every Tuesday, if you are signed up to get the email, which you can do at regattas.com in case you're not, I said there's this show from May of 2023 where we talked through the basics of wrap mortgages. You should listen to that show before tonight's show, because what happened when we talked about the basics was a bunch of people sent us questions that were like, well, what if there's already a first mortgage and a second mortgage and I want to wrap it with the third mortgage, but I only want to wrap the second mortgage and not the first mortgage? That's the kind of questions we're going to be able to answer tonight. So get them ready. 877-772-9658 or vinoradio@gmail.com. While we are ramping up for you guys to learn a little more advanced stuff about wrap mortgages, let me tell you about a couple of things that are going on. Tomorrow night online is Cincinnati RIA's monthly nationwide chapter meeting. The topic is real estate investing is dead. That's the topic. We're just going to throw up our hands and admit it. There's no such thing as traditional real estate investing anymore. Why? Because that's what everybody's saying online. I had an argument as late as today online about how, the problem is the hedge funds. They've gone on a buying spree and they own like 10% of all the single family homes in the entire country, which is like such bad math. I can't even tell you. Only 17% of the single family homes in the United States are rentals. And of those, the big hedge funds that own over 1,000 properties own about 2.4% of them. So it's like 0.39%. That is not your problem. If you're not able to find deals, that is not your problem. Your problem is something else. High interest rates, lack of inventory, high prices. What we're really going to talk about is what are people who are still doing real estate doing if it isn't traditional real estate? So obviously you can attend that because it is online. You don't have to go anywhere. The way you can attend it is go to CincinnatiRIA.com. That's CincinnatiREIA.com. And let me just put in a very early little promo here for you that the first week of August is Expo Week, which means the Tri-State Real Estate Expo will be happening on August the 7th. There will be hundreds of local real estate investors there, along with dozens of investor-friendly vendors who will come bearing deals, services, door prizes. There'll be food. It's free. It's like all good stuff. You need to RSVP. I'm not even going to tell you where it is. You've got to RSVP to come to that. Again, CincinnatiRIA.com. If you're not in the Cincinnati area, but you are in the Columbus area, same deal, except it's on Tuesday. The Central Ohio Real Estate Expo is on Tuesday. And you can grab a ticket to that at CoreeRocks.com. That's C-O-R-E-E, rocks.com. And if you're sitting there thinking, man, if there's a bunch of real estate investors getting together, I should be there with my product or service, send me an email at vinoradio@gmail.com, and I will put you in touch with the person who can get you a booth at one of those events. So, my guest today is Miss Anita Johnson, a.k.a. the Rapping Queen, who was also the guest back in May of 2023, where she had the very difficult task of trying to explain to people on the radio what one of the hardest to understand but most useful creative finance techniques in the world looks like. And it is so much easier when you can literally draw somebody a picture of how these things work. But she did a fantastic job. Wrap mortgages have just like taken off in my world. Like all of a sudden people are doing them. Like a couple of years ago, that was not the case. But now, I'm seeing them over and over and over again. And Anita is here to further educate us about wraps, when they're good, when they're maybe not so good, when they're good for you as a borrower, when they're good for you as a lender, and taking your questions at 877-772-9658 or vinoradio@gmail.com. So, Anita, the question, as I was listening to the last show, the question I did not ask you is, how in the world did you get so interested in these that you've done so much work and study on them? Did like when your mommy said, so what do you want to be when you grow up, honey? Did you like, you're like, I want to be the Rapping Queen. And if so, is this what you meant?
Well, first of all, Vina, thank you so very much for having me again here on the show today. It's just awesome to be able to, be here and share my knowledge on wraps. And the way that I got interested, or actually even first heard about wraps, was from a young lady by the name of Dorsey Botiford, now Dorsey Botiford Cooney. I heard about this, maybe about 2015. And when I first heard about it, I thought, okay, that sounds great. I don't really understand everything she's saying. It might be something that I might need to learn someday, but I didn't think it really applied to me. And it wasn't until about maybe another 4 or 5 years later that, kind of like what you're saying now, I started hearing this term on a more regular basis. Now, maybe chalk it up to the fact that I had done more deals by then, and I was in places where I was surrounded by people who were, in my definition, much more sophisticated than I was. And so it was then, at around that same time, that I had a real life situation where I needed funds for repairs to a rental property, and someone said very nonchalantly, oh, you can just wrap it. And that was the start of my journey to kind of understanding how wraps work, and to doing them. So now I've done wraps both as a borrower as well as a lender, but that's kind of how it all started.
So basically, it was necessity is the mother of invention.
There you go.
I need some money. Somebody said I could get it this way. I'm going to figure out how to do that.
That's right. And I'm always intrigued, and maybe that's what lends to my kind of professional background. I'm intrigued by things that I hear that I don't know what they are. So there's something that's in me that says, I know I can figure that out. And so that's kind of what got me going into understanding, or really seeking to understand, more about wrap mortgages.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. With that wonderful introduction, we are going to take a quick break. First of all, I hear the phone ringing, which means somebody is calling in with a question. And secondly, we just have to take a break. So if y'all have a question, listeners, about wrap mortgages, or some situation that you're in that you think, you know, I might lend itself to a wrap mortgage, but I don't know what to do, 877-772-9658 or vinoradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones Cox, talking today to Anita Johnson about slightly more advanced wrap mortgage kinds of topics. Also taking your questions at 877-772-9658. I'm not sure if we're having trouble with the phones. I heard a couple of calls in, but they didn't make it over to the board here. Maybe it was people who were confused about, hey, is this a podcast? Do I need to call into it? I don't know. But your alternative is always vinaradio@gmail.com with your questions. So, borrower's perspective, lender's perspective.
Sure. And Vina, I feel like if I can just take a quick moment, even though I know that you gave all your listeners the task of listening to the previous show, I want to just explain what a wrap mortgage is at its basic level so that those who are listening and may not have had the opportunity to listen to that previous show can understand. And so basically a wrap mortgage is a secondary or a junior mortgage. So think home equity loan, which is what most people are familiar with. It's typically, but not always, a second loan that someone gets after they already have a loan. But this secondary loan or mortgage includes or it wraps around the mortgages that are already existing. And the analogy that I tend to use is that of a gift box. You have a box and then there's the bow that wraps or ties around that box. You don't have a gift box unless you have both of them. So a wrap mortgage in the financing context is simply a mortgage that includes another mortgage. Okay, so I just wanted to kind of get that out there. And in the case where someone has an existing mortgage and they say they want to get additional funds, the new mortgage or the lender providing funds would have a new mortgage that would simply wrap around that person's existing mortgage, and the amount of that new wrap mortgage will be the total of the balance of their existing mortgage plus the amount of money that the lender provided in additional funds. So again, that's just to try to help with those who may not know exactly what a wrap mortgage is. Otherwise, they'll be lost in the rest of this conversation. So
since you brought up the thing about you sort of were talking about it from the lender's position, that if I'm doing a wrap mortgage, if there's an underlying loan of $100,000 and I'm doing a wrap of $20,000, mm-hmm. my wrap is going to say that what is owed to me is $120,000.
Correct.
But what that really means is, yeah, you're going to pay me $120,000 and then I'm going to pay off your underlying loan. Why would a private lender want to do a wrap? As opposed, why not just do a second mortgage? It's so much easier. Why not just give you $20,000 in charge of, you know, 14%
interest?
Great
question. So in that very scenario, say if I gave you $20,000 as a loan, I, as the lender, am going to make money on just the amount of money that I loan. In other words, if I charge you 6% interest, I'm going to make 6% on that $20,000. Alternatively, if I were to loan you that same $20,000, but I did it in such a way that it wrapped around another mortgage, then I make money on the money that I gave you plus the money I didn't put into the deal. So I am leveraging the use of another mortgage that's already in place. So my face value now of $120,000, I'm making money on it. So I always say to people, would you rather make, in that example, would you rather make money on $20,000 or $120,000? And when you say that, the light bulb goes off and people get it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean anything changes with the underlying loan. I mean,
not at all. The underlying loan is still in place. The borrower has signed two notes. The way that the payments typically are made, though, is that the borrower pays the wrap lender, and out of those funds, because the amount is large enough, that the wrap lender then pays the underlying lender. So that's the flow of the payments. And for the borrower, it's beneficial for the borrower because their payment is typically less than if they had to make two separate payments in the form of their first, the payment to their first lender, as well as a payment to a traditional second lender.
Well, you just covered my next question. So, it's a very good thing if you're going to do wrap mortgages to understand how to use a financial calculator.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or to have, you know, I don't use a financial calculator. I use a spreadsheet.
Excel spreadsheet.
Does exactly the same thing. The primitive math would say if that $100,000 loan is at 5% and my $20,000 loan is at 6%, that what I am getting is 6% on 20. And 1% on 100 that I didn't put up. Somebody else put up that money. And, you know, that this is where you need the financial calculator because the return is not 7. If you put in 20 at 6 and are getting another percent on 100,000, the return is not 7. Your return is probably closer to 13 or 14% interest. So nonetheless, I mean, we could duplicate that with a second mortgage. We could say, okay, so I'm getting 15% on this wrap, so I'll just make you a $20,000 second at 15% interest. Still easier.
Easier, maybe. However, not realistic. You could do that. However, the people involved, let me just say starting assumption here is that those involved in a wrap mortgage are usually financial friends. They know each other, they have a relationship, and they want to see all parties involved succeed. So that is the first and foremost premise of a wrap mortgage, which is very different from the traditional second where a bank is typically involved.
And I think for a lot of lenders, so there's like the financial friend thing where we're doing this because I trust you and whatnot. Which, you know, that's always, like it or not, when you're talking about private lenders, there's always an element of trust. There's always an element of, do I think this person's actually going to pay me back? But if it's somebody that I don't know that well, the fact that you said this earlier, the entire payment comes to me. It's not just the payment on my $20,000. It's the payment on my $20,000 plus the payment on that $100,000 loan. If the entire payment comes to me and then I pay the underlying, then I know something, at least for that month, that I did not necessarily know if I was just in second position and I was just getting the payment on the second.
You know that the underlying is being paid. And that is what's most important. If you are a borrower, you want to make sure that any note that you've signed, that it's getting paid. And so in the payment process of the wrap mortgage structure, by virtue of the fact that the wrap lender is paying the underlying, the borrower knows it's getting paid. And there are many ways to make sure that that borrower gets confirmation that the payment has been made. Things that I've done, for example, would be to take a screenshot when I'm making a payment to that underlying lender, and then I send that screenshot to the borrower. Helps the borrower to sleep better at night. And in situations where, let's say, the underlying loan or lender is a self-directed investment account. Mm-hmm. I will oftentimes have the lender send me an email that they will get as a confirmation from their custodian, and then I will forward that email on to the borrower. So there's many ways to make sure that the borrower truly understands and knows that their payment is getting made.
Okay, so that's all fine and well until the payment doesn't come in 1 month. What happens? I'm the wrap lender. I was supposed to get a payment that included my payment plus the payment on the other mortgage, and I didn't get it. What now?
Yep. So let's say if you don't get the payment, well, there's a number of steps that the wrap lender can make. Number one, the wrap lender could continue to pay the underlying lender while working out with the borrower what's actually going on, because they're financial friends. They want to make sure everybody in the deal is succeeding. Ultimately, the wrap lender could foreclose and they could take over the property subject to the first. And if in the worst case scenario, the wrap lender is simply not paying, then the lender in the first position could foreclose. Now, you know, all of these risks are risks that really need to be assessed at the very outset, way before you even sign all the paperwork. It's part of the due diligence process, and that is why doing a successful wrap mortgage deal involves very thorough due diligence.
Big checklist. Actually, way bigger way bigger than doing a traditional private loan.
That's like, right.
There's so many things you have to look at in a wrap that if you're just going to be in first position, there's just going to be one loan. It's a long list, but it gets, you know, maybe twice as long.
Right. And you know, one of the main things that you really want to look at as a lender is this, at the end of the day, when I look at all of the data on this deal, the borrower, the collateral that's involved, et cetera, is this a deal that I would want to own? Is this something that, should everything not go exactly to plan, am I okay with owning this property? And that's really what all lenders need to be looking at when they are assessing a deal and trying to determine whether or not they're going to move forward with any type of lending.
Yes, because that you owning the deal could turn out to be the worst possible outcome. Because, as you said, you can foreclose from second position.
Correct.
In other words, you're saying, I don't hold the first mortgage. I hold the second mortgage, but I'm only foreclosing on the second. I'm not foreclosing on the first. So if you come and bid, you are only paying off the second. You're only getting the second release. The first is still going to be there, which is something, man, you do that kind of foreclosure and it causes all kinds of chaos when people end up buying the property and don't realize that they didn't wipe out the first mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
But it happens all the time. So what you're sort of hoping is that the bid goes up so high that it will pay off the first and pay off your entire, all everything you're owed, which now is not only the money you put in, but it's the back payments. It's
correct.
It's the legal late fees. It's the taxes.
That's right.
It's all the stuff. If you won the bid because you were the highest bidder, it's probably because the bid did not go up high enough, because you are
that's
in
right.
second position. So the first, all the stuff for the first gets paid first.
Yeah. And that's, you know, another good point. Oftentimes people are not real clear as to why mortgages in second or, any position other than first, why the interest rate is higher. And the interest rate is higher simply because it is a function of risk. Lenders view any position other than first is more risky. And so that is why you see those loans having higher interest rates.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break because we do have Andrew from Utah on the phone. We want to leave plenty of time for his question before Mike starts going making tees with his hands, telling us it's break time. If you have a question for Anita, give us a call at 877-772-9658 or send it to vinoradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Talking today to the wrapping queen, Anita Johnson, who, by the way, is giving an all-day wrap mortgage masterclass, not this coming Saturday, but a week from this coming Saturday. It is incredibly cheap for this level of education. Like, it costs about what a book would cost, except you get live training instead of just a book. So, if you're super interested in these and you want to walk through them all the way from what is it, all the way up through what is that checklist that she was talking about, go to CincinnatiRIA.com and get signed up for that. It's online, so no particular place to go. You can watch it in your bunny slippers. Let's go to line one and talk to Andrew from Utah. Andrew, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Hey, good afternoon, Brianna and Anita. How are you doing? Both doing today?
Well, hi, Andrew. I'm well. Thank you.
So I've got just today, I was approached last week about possibly purchasing some rap notes that have been both performing and non-performing, and finally got some details in today that I've yet to really look through. They're down in Florida, and I wanted to start taking a look at underwritings. I've never purchased a rap note, and I wanted to have a good look at it before I take it to some financial friends down in Florida to potentially partner with. And I'm just wondering, in addition to everything that you've been covering so far, since if you had any thoughts on looking at it from the perspective of a note buyer who's going to take a look at potentially discounting and things like that.
Well, Andrew, I have not yet bought a wrap note, but you are 100% correct. If it has, if the borrower is not paying, at that point it becomes a non-performing note. And I would say that you are looking at it in the same way that a buyer of any note tends to look at the note, with the only difference possibly being that you now have another position involved. Maybe, Vina, you have any additional perspective
there? Oh, I have so many thoughts about this. Like you said non-performing rap, and my head almost exploded. I was like, okay, so I assume that if the wrap, which is in second position, is not performing, that the actual loan in first position is not performing either. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's an assumption. I'm going with that as well before I get a chance to take a look. You know, I'm less enthused about the non-performing notes because that's an area that I have yet to get into than I am with the performing ones.
Yeah. So do you know anything? Are these all to a single borrower, or is it multiple borrowers?
No, they're to a few different parties.
Okay. So at the very basic level, you should look at the non-performing ones like you would at any non-performing second, because the fact that the wrap includes the first gives you zero control over the first or what the first decides to do. The first is probably going to just go ahead and foreclose, which could, I mean, that doesn't mean I wouldn't buy it, the wrap. I would buy it very, very cheaply at a price where I was like, okay, this guy's going to pay for all the foreclosure fees, and I'm still going to make money because the bid's going to go up above.
Yeah, it needs to be significantly discounted, I would think.
Yeah, significantly discounted. On the performing ones, it is generally considered to be good practice that if you are going to sell a wrap, that you sell it by unwrapping the wrap. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's we keep talking about this theoretical wrap where there's an underlying loan of $20,000 wrap, right? Or it's really $120,000 wrap, but $20,000 was the amount contributed. Generally, it is considered to be best practice that if you were going to sell that, what you would do is you would sell it for enough to pay off the underlying, thus dropping the wrap into first position. And I don't think that's what's being suggested to you, is it?
Not yet. I mean, for that matter, we haven't even talked about numbers yet. And we're trying to just kind of feel each other out at this point.
And what I would also say, Andrew, have you taken a look at the documents in detail, the notes and the mortgages? Because there can be a first right of refusal in those. Mm-hmm. But, of course, since you've mentioned they're both non-performing, that may not really apply, but I would still take a thorough look at all of the documents to understand the details, and kind of unravel what all is there.
You need to vet the property, the collateral. You need to vet the paperwork, because that was the next thing I was going to say is I am terrified to think of what the paperwork looks like if somebody is trying to unload a bunch of wraps. Were these wraps for subject twos by any chance?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. They all were. And the situation is, it seems like it's just they had too many people involved, and so they're breaking up the partnership because there's like six partners, which was just convoluted. Mm-hmm. So I think but that's kind of the surface level discussion that I've been given, so the paperwork will tell those.
You know, that's interesting, because I believe we are probably going to see a lot more of those types of things where we have, unfortunately, people who have bought property subject to the seller's existing note, and they heard about this thing about, oh, well, I probably shouldn't assign my subject to, maybe I should wrap it, and that way I can sell it. So they heard all of that.
Which is good.
Which
that's
is
the,
good.
That's the ethical way.
Yes,
if you're
going
to flip a subject to, that's the ethical that way to do it.
However.
But then trying to unload it
yes.
when exactly the reason that you wrapped it, which was so that the seller would not be injured if your buyer defaulted on the subject too, and now they did, and you're trying to sell the wrap. You're trying to make it somebody else's problem. It's an interesting, I want to hear way more
about
this story.
Yeah, I do too.
Andrew.
And Andrew, yes, I'd love to talk with you some more and see how maybe we can look at that and see how we can figure that out, because that'll be a learning for me as well, because I have not bought a wrap. That's whether it's performing or defaulted.
Your financial friends that you want to bring into this need to be very sophisticated and very risk tolerant. Don't
absolutely, absolutely.
Don't just go out and like gather up money from people who are like, oh, it's a 15% return. That sounds awesome. And they don't understand what the potential outcomes here are. I'll be real curious to see if the people that the houses were sold to are homeowners or investors, because that could create another, yet another problem. Because as you know, there's usury rates for homeowners that if these are non-amortizing wraps, might arguably exceed that usury rate. Yeah, this is going to be very interesting.
Well, I look forward to giving you some updates on that.
Absolutely.
Oh, gosh, we may make a whole show out of you and your wrap purchase deal, Andrew.
Well, if it go really bad, then yeah, I'll be sure to come
on. Worst deal of the year.
No, but actually, we want to hear, even if it goes really, really well, because again, I have a sneaky suspicion that given the number of people out there trying to acquire property subject to, and then learning that, hey, I need to sell it. If I'm going to sell it, I need to wrap it. There may be more of these types of things coming. And so learning how to kind of unravel that and do it correctly and protect the homeowners that are in place is going to be important.
Mm-hmm.
Unless that's a great point.
Unless the homeowner is the one who defaulted, in which case there's no protecting them, because that first lender.
That's correct.
It's the former homeowner that we're really worried about here, who is now going through a foreclosure they didn't expect on a property they don't own anymore. So, yeah, and here one other thing, Andrew, that I would look at real carefully is how much money was put down, and is there actually any wrap equity? Because oftentimes when people are, they bought a house subject to, now they're selling it subject to, the wrap only matches the terms of the subject to, because they took all the cash out of the deal up front. There's not... They didn't get it. They didn't get the house for subject to a $300,000 loan and then do a $320,000 wrap. They got the property subject to a $300,000 loan, took a $20,000 cash down payment, and the wrap is only $300,000.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're going to have so much fun looking at paperwork over the next few weeks. All right. Thanks for the call, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
The most interesting deal I have heard in quite a long time. I believe I am being told that we need to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll answer your questions at 877-772-9658 or at vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing, talking wrap mortgages with Anita Johnson. And I'm sorry, Andrew, if you're still listening, I have one other thought. You've got a package here of performing and non-performing wraps that we think were made in a situation where an investor bought a property subject to and then passed it on to someone, a homeowner, an investor, somebody. That may turn out not to be true, but you might want to demand to take the non-performing ones along with the performing ones, and as a result, pay less for the performing ones for the simple purpose of fixing it for the homeowner whose name those mortgages are in. You know, I mean, unless there could be bankruptcy. I mean, there could be a lot of reasons why that seller actually isn't going to be affected by this. But I might say, look, I would give you $100,000 for the performing ones, but instead I'm going to give you $90,000 and take the non-performing ones too. And that's my offer. I'm not going to let you separate the package, because otherwise those homeowners who sold those properties subject to are just kind of hung out to dry. And I mean, at the very least, you could maybe organize some sort of a signing it, having the person who's in default sign it back over to the person whose property it was, maybe, or sign it over to you. Who knows? Anyway, I'm going to be thinking about this all night now. So, Anita, we've been talking mostly about the lender's perspective this time. Let's talk about the borrower's perspective, because we keep going, oh my gosh, you know, as the lender, you have so much more control and you get these high rates of return because of the override on the underlying loan. So that kind of begs the question, for a borrower, why would a wrap work better for me than maybe a high interest rate second mortgage?
Right. Well, first, let's start with the fact that you don't need to go to a bank or a traditional financial institution as a borrower to get a wrap loan. Again, these loans are done amongst people who know each other. And when you are getting a wrap loan, not only do you not have to go to a bank, but as the borrower, as we mentioned earlier, you make one payment. And that one payment is typically the loaner, the deal is structured such that that one payment is less than if you had a payment to your first position lender as well as a payment to a second position lender. So for the borrower that is in need of funds, not having to go to a bank and also being able to pay a smaller payment while they do the work, let's say, for example, to get a property ready, to do the repairs that it needs to be put in service, that is very beneficial to the borrower. I know it was very beneficial to me when I was a borrower. In fact, my very first introduction, as I mentioned earlier, was when I had a need for funds to do repairs on a rental property, and I was told, oh, you can just wrap it. And so once I sat down and really looked at side by side a comparison, again, I use Excel. Excel is like my best friend. When I did a side by side comparison, I could really see the value in it for me as the borrower.
Mm-hmm. So lower payment was a big chunk of that because, I mean, there's just a limit on how much financing any given rental house can afford. You get
Correct.
To a point where the payment's so high that the
it
rent doesn't
make sense.
Cover it.
That's
so,
right.
So it just won't work. But the other piece of that is I remember that deal you're talking about. And the rate of interest that you got on the wrap was 5%, which even at that time was... That was under what banks were offering. And that was
yes.
crazy low. How does the lender end up making 13 or 14 or 15% if they've lent money at 5, even if now the underlying loan there was another seller finance loan and it was 0%. So,
Correct.
So effectively they're making 5 on the money they put in and also 5 on the money. But that's still only 5.
Yeah. So great question. And I think this is what confuses people, or one of the things that confuses people. But on that particular deal, the rate of return for the wrap lender was something around 18%, even though the rate of the wrap was 5. And the very reason for that, there's two things. Number one, you are, as the wrap lender, you're making a spread between what you're charging on your wrap loan and the rate or interest rate on the underlying. In that instance, the underlying was a 0% interest rate loan. So the lender made money on the spread. The lender also made money because the way the deal was structured was such that the underlying note was a fully amortizing note. So meaning every single month that a payment was made, part of it went towards principal and part of it went towards interest. So that underlying loan was paying down. So every month the balance owing on it was less. While the structure for the wrap note was interest only. So while the underlying was continuing to pay down, as is done in most, homeowners loans, like you see, where they're fully amortizing, the amount of money that was still owed on the wrap stayed the same. So in situations where a wrap is structured that way, there's what's called wrap equity. So the difference between what's owed on the wrap note and the balance that's owed on the underlying, the wrap lender also makes that. So they make money on money they put in the deal, money they didn't put in the deal, and also wrap equity when structured that way.
So the longer they keep that second mortgage in place that's a wrap, the more money they get at the end
in wrap equity.
The amount that they're owed stays the same, and over time you're paying off more and more and more and more principal on the underlying loan.
Correct.
So when you got this wrap loan, because I hear people getting and asking for and giving seconds all the time for different purposes. I need it to finish the rehab. I need it to get some cash out to go do another deal, whatever. But almost always the lender says, yeah, I can do that for 6 months to a year. Mm-hmm. The loan you got, was the lender like, no, I only want to do it for 6 months to a year?
The lender for my loan could not care less if I paid that off at all. They would have preferred, it's now paid off, but that lender, and really any lender, when they sit down and look at it side by side and really understand what's happening, at the end of the day, the amount that they're going to make or their return is going to be much higher the longer that that wrap note is in existence, especially when structured that way.
I guess that'd be another advantage, because I see all these deals where people, they go out and they talk to a bunch of people, a bunch of sellers, and they find one who's like, yes, just take my property. I'll let you pay me off in no interest payments over the next 10 years. And so they make this great deal for themselves, at least, on a spreadsheet. It says I've got a $500 a month payment, and that means I'm owning $500 more of house every single month. And then they're like, oh, oops, I came up a little short. I need another $50,000 to do the down payment and the work. And they go borrow a second mortgage that has to be paid back in a year.
That's right.
And when I say, how do you plan to do that? They say, well, I'll refinance it. And I say, well, why did you do all that work to get that 0% loan if you're going to refinance the whole deal?
And that's, and that is exactly why, another reason why I did the loan the way that it was structured, because I had in first position a 0% seller held loan, and there was no way, it made no sense. And that's the situation a lot of, homeowners are in today. They have 2, 3, 4% interest loans. And when someone sells their property and they wrap it, they sell it by wrapping and giving a new loan to a borrower, or a borrower acquires a property that has, maybe they acquire it subject to, and it has such a low interest rate, it's almost a cardinal sin to pay off that low interest rate. So you want to find ways to keep that low interest rate, as well as then get the money that you still need. And a wrap mortgage is one of the best ways to do it. In fact, I don't know of any other way to do it other than a wrap mortgage.
Very good. This is a tough topic on the radio.
It really is.
So much easier with like a spreadsheet. Here, let me show you my spreadsheet. Okay. This will explain it all. See what happens when you raise the rep rate by a quarter of a point or lower the underlying loan by a point?
And it's something that is not very sexy. A lot of times people think, oh my gosh, buying a property or having this short-term rental, that's so cool. It's so sexy. But at the end of the day, If you ask any real estate investor why they're in it for what they call quote unquote financial freedom. And financial freedom, or really understanding how to leverage and make the most of the money that you have and make money on spreads, which is what real estate investing is all about, is making money on spreads. And no better way to do that than wrap mortgages. If you can learn how to do wrap mortgages, you can be the lender and not really have to deal with all of the day-to-day stuff you have to do when you are a landlord. So,
and you can do it with very small amounts.
Very small amounts.
Which is probably not something I should have dropped into the conversation 30 seconds before we're ending. So if y'all are interested in spending some time really diving into these things, learning exactly how they come together, and also like what's all the paperwork, what kind of title searches do we have to do, all that kind of stuff, that would be a week from Saturday. And Anita's doing an all-day class online. You can find out more about it at CincinnatiRIA.com. You can also join us tomorrow night to learn why traditional real estate investing is dead. And again, CincinnatiRIA.com is the place. Both of those things are online. We will be back next week.
Thank you, Vina, for having me here. It's awesome.
You're welcome. That was rude of me not to say thank you.
I just
want
to say thank you.
We'll be back next week with more information to put you on the path to financial independence through real estate investing. Until then, happy investing.